Hello, everybody, wherever you are in the world. Hello, world. Hello, world. Hello, all. We are so thankful Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi with Progress on Purpose. We are going live as we are about to bless the nations and empower the people of God, whatever they are, whether it is in your social, your spiritual, your physical, your career. We are here for you. Hello, everybody. Progress on Purpose, Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi. And today I'm going to be talking on a very important subject that I believe is going to bless many as we move from point A to point B, as we keep on moving in our lives. I'm going to talk about something very exciting. I'm excited about it. I'm going to pull out of some confessions that I have to make as I empower others to move. That's one thing that happens with mentoring and coaching. You got to let people in sometimes so that they can get to see that you're not just blowing up hot air. So we got something we want to talk about here today. I'm going to coach on this. I'm going to entitle our coachment together, Making What You Have Count. Making What You Have Count. I really think this is a very important empowerment that we need, that somebody somewhere has been desiring to know the how-tos of life. That's what we do here at Progress on Purpose. We are relevant, we are practical, and we are always biblical. Making what you have count. Making what you have count. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom again. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, you'll do yourself a great favor if you are a believer to read the book of Ecclesiastes once in a while, because there are some practical, relevant, godly living principles from the book of Ecclesiastes. It is a very powerful book, only 12 chapters. You can truly do it and bless your own soul as you do so. So Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 6. It is a very powerful, very, very powerful chapter. The whole chapter only has 10 verses, but we'll work with verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. It reads this way. It reads this way. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. All right? In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold. In other words, keep on sowing your seed. Sow in the morning, sow in the evening, for you do not know which one will prosper. You do not know whether it's the one you sowed in the morning, whether it's the one you sowed in the evening. All right? And then it says, you do not know that. You don't know whether it's this or that, or whether both alike will be good. I love this book of Ecclesiastes because it brings in a practical relevance to those of us who believe. We don't have to spiritualize everything. There's a practical end to faith. Faith is logical. Let me say that again. Faith, real faith, is logical. And you need to understand there's logic to faith. The text is saying, listen, you don't have to just wake up in the morning believing that God is going to give you something. And that's verse 6. It's verse 6. 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. All right? You don't have to wake up in the morning and just guesswork. Something is going to happen. But it says, in the morning, be intentional, sow something. In the evening, be intentional, sow something. Because you don't know which thing is going to prosper. And you don't even know if both things are going to prosper. So in other words, if we are to be impactful in this world, you got to keep on pushing. You got to keep on pushing in the morning, push in the evening. It doesn't matter which season you are in. It doesn't matter which situation you are in. It doesn't matter what circumstances are around you. You'll never harvest where you haven't sown, okay? You'll never harvest where you haven't planted. You got to plant in order for you to expect a harvest. So it matters that if it's in the morning, it doesn't matter what the conditions are. The book says, in the morning, sow seed. And in the evening, do not withhold. Don't stop sowing because you don't know which one will prosper, either this one or that. Or both of them will just blow up and God will shock you with the blessing of increase in both areas. So I want to talk about making what you have count. Making what you have count. All of us have got something. Everybody has something. The difference is that others are intentional about what they have, whilst others, we just stumble through life with what we have, okay? In other words, others know what they have, and others, they're waiting to be discovered by somebody else. And let me tell you something, my friend. In this world, everybody's looking out for number one. And number one means themselves. Everybody is looking for what benefits them, what improves them, and what takes them where they are going. So as you're waiting for somebody else to find you, you must understand that you have 100% responsibility of your life and what it is that God has put in you. You need to understand, here it is. There got to be some ownership of where I am, where you are, some ownership of what I'm going through and whatever is coming my way. There's so much I cannot control in my life. And you need to understand, don't worry about things you can't control, but be intentional about things that you can cause to happen. I'm so excited, my friends. Here we go. I just want to coach. I just want to empower somebody who is ready. If you're not ready, please, please, I'm sorry. If this is wrong platform for you. But if you've been wondering, how do I make what I have count? I know I got something, but it's not counting. How do I make it count? You've come to the right place. The text says, sow in the morning, sow in the evening. You don't know which one is going to prosper. Either this one or that or both will blow up and make it happen. I have 10 principles I want to share with you on how to make what you have count. All right. Number one, if you are to make what you have count, learn to develop presence. Learn to develop presence. You got to develop presence. Presence matter. Presence matter. Learn to develop presence. Not develop a name, but develop a presence. All right. It's better for you. In other words, when you have developed presence, you are felt more than you are heard. Oh, God. When you develop your presence, you are felt more than you are heard. There are so many people in this world who talk a lot, who shout a lot, and yet nobody even recognizes that they're around. But when you have presence, you are felt. You walk into a room, you don't have to say nothing, and somebody will have to ask, who is that? Why? Because you've developed presence. You got to be intentional with presence. All right. And learn to develop presence in any relationship you're in. You got to learn to develop presence. If you are to make what you have count, you must create presence. You must create curiosity for people to know who you are. And for some of you, God has already blessed you real good. He has given you some natural beauty that just comes out, that makes people wonder, who is it? Some of you, you've got some natural, there's something that you got that God has already put in you as a magnet for the development of presence. It really does matter. I was studying, getting ready for I have so many things going on at the same time, getting ready for the one of the things that are going on. And I discovered that it's so amazing that when you think about presence, it's not you being there. Okay, there are so many people that we all feel we know, but we have never met them in person. Okay, these are people who have mastered the art of developing presence. All right, I've never met Oprah in my life. I would love to meet Oprah. It'll be a wonderful blessing to meet Miss Oprah, but I haven't met her. But she is such a presence that wherever you go in the world, everybody knows about Oprah. So all of us can learn. This is just one example. All of us can learn from these people. What is it that they do that makes all of us allow them to come into our lives as if they are our strangers, our neighbors, as if they are our friends, and yet they don't even know that we exist? All right. Learn to develop presence. Presence really matters. Here's what happens with presence. When you are developing presence, you need to develop sneezers. Learn to develop sneezers. Sneezers. Okay. Sneezers, here it is. It's a marketing and sales tool that you can use. It's a skill. It's a strategy in marketing and sales. Sneezers are people that you sneeze on and then they sneeze on others. Okay. I don't want you to forget this. Develop sneezers. In other words, these are people that you share with who you are, and they go and share wherever they go about who you are that you have revealed to them. So in other words, you need to be very intentional with people that if you want to develop presence. You can't develop presence when you want to be number one all the time, because you are trying, you are selling yourself. You are letting people know who you are. There are people who we, there's a story that happened this week. Maybe you've heard about it. My boy, I would love to meet him too. Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin was talking to his son, and his son recorded their private conversation, and his son posted it on social media, where, you know, Kirk Franklin got mad and he was cussing his son, and his son wanted to destroy his reputation by putting it out there, so that the whole Christians, because Christians are the ones who are so super judgmental on any Christian who stumbles or who become human. We jump on them and try to do what we got to do. But here's what happened. So Kirk Franklin's son recorded their private conversation, father and son conversation, where Kirk was a little bit angry and kind of cussed out his son a little bit. And the son wanted to do, you know, when I heard that story, I just jumped up to defend Kirk Franklin. And then when I went to my to my Facebook, I discovered Steve Harvey was defending him. I think Steve Harvey did a great job in defending Kirk Franklin. You know, when you have developed presence, you have people who speak for you. You don't have to be the one speaking all the time. When you have developed presence, you have people, you have intentionally multiplied yourself. If you are to make what you have count, you must develop presence by intentionally multiplying yourself. That matters. That really matters. Don't make life all about you. That's where collaboration is important as you develop presence. You don't lose partners. Can I say this to you? There are so many people who miss it because when we think we have made it, we forget the girl or the man who took us to the dance. We let go of those who were with us when we were nothing, and we want now to walk into those who have we found where we were going, who do not have the story of how we got where we are. If you are to make what you have count, develop presence intentionally. And here's number two. Number two, this is very serious. Number two is bad. I'm telling you. If you are to make to make what you have count, it is forget titles. Forget titles. Forget titles. You didn't hear what I'm saying? If you're going to make what you have count, forget titles. It's very amazing as I'm studying some of these greats that we have in this world. One thing I've discovered, all the most powerful people in the world, they are known by their first names. Oprah. Do you know Oprah has got doctorates to her name? And yet we simply know Oprah. And people who have no money like Oprah, no presence like Oprah, they get a little MA, master's, get a PhD, and I know you worked for it, and they cannot answer to their name without a doctor on it. You got to know the title before you know the man. Well, you got to make what you have count. Barack Obama. Do you know that he's Dr. Barack Obama? Michelle Obama. Do you know that she has a PhD. She is a lawyer. She got Esquire. They are doctors. But when they've made it, you discover titles fade away and who they are rises to the top. If you are to make what you have count, my friend, forget titles. Because people who drink from the cup of titles, they always get offended when they're not recognized. All right. And the same thing is true with pastors. Okay, pastors, some people you call them by their name. Oh, no. You don't know I'm Pastor so-and-so. I'm Elder so-and-so. I'm Deacon so-and-so. And it even messes up your own marriage when you bring that title in there, because your spouse didn't marry the title. They married John. They married Mary. They married Susan. They married Mackenzie. They married Johnson. Here's what it is. If you are to make what you have count, my friend, forget titles. Don't be easily offended because your title was not given to you. Because what you want to do is to make what you have count. There's a baby of purpose within you. You just want to get the purpose out. You don't want a lot of clatter that messes up the purpose. Don't let the title compete with the purpose. It is the purpose on the inside that must have access on the outside, and everything in my life is there cheerleading the purpose of God to blow up and bless many. I'm excited. I feel it. I feel it here today. Here it is. I see my girl Rejoice. She's here with us. She's recovering. She's recovering. We're praying for you, Rejoice. Please. We love you. And here's number three, making what you have count. Making what you have count. Number three, be as open as possible. Be as open as possible. Be as open as possible. Now, don't make it difficult for people to get what you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be as open as possible. I'll give you a story about this. My very first, I always felt that God was calling me to the nations with evangelism. I always felt that. And I'll tell you, I have people who call me now and say, Pastor, we've seen you all over the place, and you're in Germany, you're over here, and we think you're too busy. And I said, no, I'm not too busy. Because one thing I've told myself is the day I become bigger than how I started is the day I'm going to crash and crumble and never have another opportunity for me to discover what else God has in store for me. And so here's what happened. My very first going away to go preach was, I was speaking at a church in Minnesota. And then somebody came to me and they said, I wish you could go to my village. I said, your village? They said, yeah, I wish you could go to my village. And there's a little group of saints that we started when I was in college. And that was 10 years ago. And I don't know if they're still open. But I think if you were to go there, your presence there would change their concept about themselves and what God can truly do through them. And I looked at this person, I said, well, and what makes you think that I won't go? And the person had tears in their eyes. There's no way you can go to that. That's a small place. I said, there's nothing like that. And that was the very opening. I went to this place, cut the long story short. There were promises. We're going to pay for your ticket. It never happened. I had to pay my ticket because those people were expecting me to come. And when I got there, I had never been to this country. Listen to me, never been to this country. Didn't know anybody there. Actually, the person who picked me up from the airport had a plaque with my name on it. And the man was expecting a shorter man than I am. The man started apologizing for the car that they'd brought. I folded myself in the car. And we got to this place. Listen, we got there. There was literally nothing. It was an amazing thing. There was nothing. And the people are wondering now, how can we even host you? Where do you stay? So one of the pastors in the area said, listen, for the sake of his health, for the sake of his normalcy, let's take him from where the church is and he will stay at the university. Okay? We're going to host him at the university. I'd never been to this university before. And when I got to this university, I was asked, on a Friday evening, they said, well, do you mind preaching? There's communion. Can you preach for us? And, I never say no to a preachment. That's what I was born to do. And so I got up and preached. And the vice chancellor of the university was there. And the vice chancellor said to his chaplain, we need him here for the week of spiritual emphasis next year. He is the speaker for next year. I had not gone there for the university. I was put at the university for the sake of accommodation. Okay, and that university had never invited any preacher more than twice, and I broke the record. They invited me four times because I was willing to go to a village church where there were very few people, and at the end of the 2 weeks, we saturated the place, and I'm telling you, people were baptized from every corner. If you are going to make what you have count, you must be as open as possible. It matters. It's funny how when people are studying, they're open. But when money starts coming in, influence starts coming in, then we have got blockage. In other words, access is no longer as easily available as it should be. Okay? And once you do that, you're going to mess up what you have. Because you need to understand, the greatest thing about you is the purpose of God in you. Your joy, your greatest joy is going to come from the purpose of God in you. So now listen now, you need to make sure, you need to make sure what you have counts. You need to make sure that purpose that's on the inside, which many of us are not even clear what it is, but whatever it is that God has put in us, it is godly, it is bigger than us, and God wants to do it through us. We are honored that God wants us to be conduits of his glorious movement through our lives. That's the honor of being alive and knowing that there's a God who loves you, who did put something in you. So in order for you to make that count, here it is. Be as open as possible. Now, be open. That's what I said. Did you get that? Be open. All right? We're going to talk. I'm going somewhere with this because it matters. Some people, we overspread ourselves and then we become cheap. Okay? Everything that is easily available is always discounted. If you go to a store and you find a rack where there's some things on sale, anything that's on sale is something that is easily available. Anything that is not easily available never goes on sale. Never goes on sale. The same thing is true with cars. You've never seen there are certain cars that are never on sale. You know, it's either you have what it takes to own one and you walk in and get one. If you don't have what it takes, then you don't have to get it. In other words, they don't reduce their value in order for you and I to feel good that we have arrived. So it matters for you to be open, but don't be overspread where you lose your value. All right, let me keep on moving with it. All right, number four, always follow the golden rule. You are making what you have count. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Do unto others. It always starts here. If you're going to make what you have count, it must start over here to train everyone on the outside how to treat what's on the inside of me. So in other words, if you want to know how a person wants you to treat you, check out how they treat you. Okay, it matters. That's why it's very crazy for people who don't have respect for others to demand respect from others. No, people always give you what you give to them. It's an amazing thing. Life is like an echo. People always echo back, most of them, what you echo to them. So make the golden rule. Let me tell you something. Good always wins. Somebody type that. Good always wins. It doesn't matter. You're going to have haters. You're going to have people who want to crush you, want to rob you, want to destroy your reputation, whatever it is. But good always wins. Always follow the golden rule. Do to people what you want them to do unto you. Always do. Control that. Control what comes back to you by what you give to the world. All right, let's keep on moving. Here's the other thing that is very important. How to make what you have count. You have something. All you got to do is to be intentional about it so that you can make it count. Make it count. Make it count. Make it count. Are you? Make what you got count. Are you with me on this one? You got to make it count. All right. Here it is. Let's make it work. My daughter, the other day when she started putting on makeup, you know, she puts on makeup and daddy was a little bit shocked because, you know, your daughter is always a little girl and she's still a little girl. But she got some makeup there. As a father, I said, now, sweetheart, we didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about you now putting on makeup. That's some serious stuff. And she said, daddy, I'm just making what I have count. I'm just making what I have count. I'm just making what I have count. I said, girl, you are crazy. She said, no, this is not making me. It's not making me. I'm making what I got count. I laughed and I left it right there. Okay, here's another one. In order for you to make what you have count, find your story. Find your story. Find your story. If you're going to make what you have count, find your story. Everything ain't your story. Okay, everything is not your story. If I were to ask you right now, what are you good at? Some of us have got 99 things we're good at. There's nobody in this world who is hiring anybody. There's no job description with 99 things that should happen. Now, you need to find your story. Oh, I get passionate on this one because there are so many people in this world who don't know what their stories are. So you go to school 4 years, get a degree, get a master's, get a PhD, and then at the end of the day, guess what? You are just going to do what, you know, what somebody gets you to do. That's why when we're looking for jobs, we're just looking for anything. We are just looking for anything. We are employees. We fit where we don't belong, and we wonder why we are stressed out and we are depressed on the job. Yes, you are getting the paycheck, but it ain't going. You are not happy where you are because you haven't found your story. Find your story. If you're going to make what you have count, you got to find your story. Now, here it is. Somebody says, Pastor, how do I find my story? Glad you asked. You ready? Three questions you must ask yourself in order for you to find your story. Three questions. All right. Then you know what you got to do. Oh, yeah. We're going to go deep here today. Okay. Find your story if you're going to make what you have count. And here are three questions you must ask. Okay. Number one, I had to write this one down. Number one, if you did not have any worry about money, if you did not have any worry about money, what would you do with your time? You're finding your story. Because many of us, we do what we do because of the money. Okay, we have bills to pay. We have bills to pay. We have school fees to pay. We have got lights to pay. We've got cars. We've got houses to pay. So we really never get to a place where we stop worrying about money. So because we are so worried about money, we don't want to lose the job. We are so worried about the money. We don't want to lose the health insurance. So worried about the money. So we never find our stories because life will run out on us whilst we are trying to pay every bill that is demanding our attention. So you got to find your story. Your story is beyond your paycheck. Your story is beyond your 8 to 5. Your story is beyond your J-O-B. Your story is attached to your purpose, which is your work. You may not have a job, but have a work. Your purpose is your work, and your J-O-B, that's your employment for the bills. Find your story. Find your story. That's why all of us, that's why I believe God says we are all the head and not the tail. In other words, we were created. Listen, we are head by design and tail by default. You got to choose to be a tail. But what God has put in you and put in me is for us, we are wired to be the head and not the tail. All right? So find your story. If you did not have to worry about money, what would you do with your time? Second question to ask, what kind of work would you want to do? If you didn't have to worry about money, what kind of work would you want to do? I've dealt with people who are rich, doctors, who do not even want to be doctors. In America, at some point, there was a time when family doctors were leaving medicine and becoming realtors, selling houses. See, sometimes somebody you are the only one who envies somebody. Has it ever dawned on you if that person is really as happy as their title and whatever they have around them makes them appear as? If you did not have to worry about money, what kind of work would you want to do? Then the third question to ask, you're finding your story now. The third question is, if you did not have to worry about money, what cause would you serve? Whose pain would you want to soothe? Whose problem would you like to solve? If you did not have to worry about money, what cause would you serve? It's very amazing, my friends, that when you look at it, one of the guys who was one of the leaders of Microsoft with a lot of money at one point, this moved me. He left Microsoft with all the money, with all the benefits. And listen, he went to Afghanistan. I think he's still there. And all he did was to move with books for children on the backs of camels. This is a man who had a private jet. This is a man who had the cars that you and I are dying to have. But at some point, he got to a point where he said, listen, my purpose is I want every child to learn and read the book. And he is literally on the backs of camels carrying books as libraries in the country of Afghanistan. So if you didn't have to worry about money, what cause would you serve? Find your story. I'm talking about making what you have count. That's what I'm talking about. You got to find your story. So one thing I think pastors, they may like me for this one. One thing about being a pastor, you don't get into this thing for the money. No, there ain't no money in here. Listen, there's more stress in being a pastor than money. You don't get in it for the name. You don't get in it for the money. You get in it to make a difference. The day those priorities changes as a pastor, then you start becoming a burden to the people that you serve. You switch from being a servant to being a boss, and yet God never called you to be a boss. Let me tell you something. All of us can be great because God said the greatest among you must be the greatest servant. So as long as you can serve a cause, you can be great. Find your story. All right, let me keep on moving and let it go. Here it is. The other point for making what you have count, learn to make your decisions good. Learn to make your decisions good. Yeah, this is making what you have count. You want it to count. If it's going to count, we must develop habits of making our decisions good. You ready? Here's the good news. There's no formula to this. There's no formula. There's no formula to how to make good decisions. So some of you may say, Pastor, give me the formula for that. No. Here's what it is. You get better at making decisions as you keep making decisions. Did you get what I'm saying? You must be decisive. Keep making decisions. You get better. The best decisions you ever make in your life are decisions that you have learned through living through them. Okay, let me tell you something. One thing I've discovered in this world, there are so many people that we listen to who don't even know what they're talking about because they've never experienced it. I'm in America now, and the one thing that I've discovered is we talk about the poor in America. How can we help the poor, and how can we have resources to help the poor, have food stamps that helps them? And I'll tell you right now, the senators, most of the senators, all of our senators are millionaires. And those who are in the Congress, which in some countries are British countries, Commonwealth countries, is called parliaments. Here we call it Congress. And the House of Representatives, most of them are rich people. And many of them have never been poor. Many of them have never been on food stamps. Many of them have never been in public housing, and yet they're making decisions for those who are in those situations. How can somebody who has never, ever been on food stamps, somebody who has never been in a public housing, make a decision for somebody who is there? Well, poor people are, they like it. Oh, they're lazy. No. There's a story here. So here's what I want you to understand. Make your decisions good. And you can only make your decisions good by keeping on making decisions. And let me tell you something. People who punish people for making decisions, and many of us have been punished for making decisions, that's where we are afraid to make decisions. And I want to say to the parents who are there, my sister, Dina, how are you, girl? And let me tell you something. You should never punish your children. Train your children whilst they are young to make decisions. And don't call them stupid when the decision is not right. You want to strengthen the muscle of making decisions. That's what it is. The verse we read, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, it says, listen, in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. Listen to this, for you do not know which one will prosper. You do not know either this or that. You do not know whether both alike will be good. In other words, you really don't know. But wake up in the morning and make a decision that you are going to sow something because there's no harvest where you haven't planted. So if you are going to make what you have count, you must make your decisions good. Let me tell you something. I've been in my life where I've worked under, I'm going to have a second video tonight. I'm going to talk about... You're going to love this one. I'm going to talk about how to deal with your boss. How to deal with your boss. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, I think, 4 or 5 hours from now. It's going to be real good. How to do? Because one thing I've discovered is that it's amazing how a boss, anybody who has a title anywhere, they have that title to make decisions. And the harder the decisions you must make, the more money they pay you for making tougher decisions. So you're going to discover that a cardiologist and a neurologist, they are paid more than a family practice doctor. Because a cardiologist's decisions he has to make, or she has to make, I mean, cutting open and getting into the heart and fixing the heart, that decision, the harder the decision, the more you are rewarded for it. So we want to train our children from a young age. If you can train your children to make decisions early on, you would have set them up for success when they're adults. Because there are so many adults who are not decisive. Every opportunity has an expiration date, and every opportunity expires before we touch and deal with it because we're not decisive. Many of us, we want somebody else to make the decision so that they can take the blame. Well, having ownership of what you have, having ownership of your life, means at some point you're going to be blamed for the decisions you make. At least be glad you made the decision. It's okay to be punished for decisions you made, not decisions that somebody else made for you, and you must just bear the consequence of those decisions. So if you're going to make what you have count, you must make your decisions good. Let's get to a place where we make good decisions. We make good decisions not by memorizing a book, but by living and keep on living and making decisions. Anything that you keep on doing, you're going to get better at it. And decision making is like that. That's why when you look at the entrepreneurs in the world, entrepreneurs, you're going to discover most entrepreneurs are not entrepreneurs because they went to school. Many of them, they just had an idea. And many of them will let you know they had to quit school. They had to walk away from school. I'm not saying that's, listen, that's most entrepreneurs had to do that kind of thing. You look at the guy who did Facebook. He had to walk away from Harvard. You're talking of Bill Gates. You're talking of, Dell computer guy. You're talking about Steve Jobs. All of these guys who changed the world, at some point, it wasn't what they got in the classroom. They got us to give us what they had. Most entrepreneurs, it's just good decision making. And they make so many mistakes and they keep on doing it because making decisions demands that you become comfortable taking risks. I'm just talking about making what you have count. What you have demands some risks. Because not everybody knows that you got it. See, God specializes in hiding his best gifts in unlikely people, in unlikely places, which means you got to have guts. You got to take risks for somebody to know you got the answer. It's right here. I am the one you're looking for. I don't look like it, but it's right here. I am the one. And I have discovered in this world, there are some people who arrive looking like they got it. And there are some people who arrive not looking like they got it. And yet here it is, in order for you to make what you have count, you must make some risks. All right, here's number, here's another number that comes in. Making what you have count, you must be flexible. Be flexible. See, I've already said be as open as possible, and now I'm saying to you, be flexible. Flexibility is going to help you make what you have count. Because sometimes you have to step back in order for you to leap forward. So if you're not flexible, when it's a moment for you to step back, you're going to look at it as failure. You're going to be discouraged where you're supposed to be, renewing. Instead of renewing your energy, you're going to look at it negatively. Everything in your life works together for the good. If you are moving so fast and then you've got a flat tire, it works for the good. There is something. You got to have a mentality that always believes there is something good in this. It doesn't matter where you are. So be flexible. If you're going to make what you have count, Learn to be flexible. And I have this beatitude, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. If you're going to make what you have count, learn to be flexible. Be flexible. Sometimes when you think you are losing, it's God retooling you. Sometimes when you think you are going backwards, it's God reviving and renewing you. You need to be flexible. All right? And here's the other one that I want you to have that is very, very important. I just have two, then I'm out of here. If you're going to make what you have count. Now, this is a very serious one because I'm looking in my life. All this thing that I'm teaching and sharing with you, I am looking into my life and saying, look, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. God has blessed me real good. I've been to places where literally I was looking at some pictures and talking to some people. I said, God, I've preached in foreign parliaments. I have been invited in places where I would really pinch myself and wonder what in the world is going on. And now I'm looking back and I'm thinking, what have I done with all those relationships that God gave me opportunity to interact with? Let me tell you something. I've learned a lot of lessons. Because some people, I met them once and I never reached back. And all I needed was reaching back so that whatever I have, God had, some people have got the platforms that will elevate whatever you got. You need to understand that. You know, you are not going to have everything that you need in you. Some of the things you need to bring what you have in you out is already with some people that God is going to connect you with. And when you know where you are and what you must do, you're going to leverage every relationship in your life. All right, so here it is. This one is very, very important. Build support in advance. If you're going to make what you have count, learn to build support in advance. What does that mean? Build support before you need it. Build support in advance. Okay? You remember you are developing presence. So in order for you to have presence, making what you have count, you must build support in advance. Build support before you need it. And many of us, when God gives us an opportunity, We don't think of the afterlife of that opportunity. Every opportunity has a beginning and it has an ending. And what happens after it has ended? See, many people walk out of places like they were never there. And that's what happens. And that's one lesson I learned. You're pastoring churches. You go in and you do and you give all you got. And sometimes if you haven't built support in advance, and most times you have the support, but you are not intentional about the support. And some of the people you gave your best are the people who actually destroy you when you leave the place that you're living. They are the ones who actually try to erase your footprints. And the other, here's what I'm telling you, my friends, whether you are a boss on your job, you are a parent, or whatever you are leading, wherever God has given you influence over, learn to build support in advance. Learn to build support before you need it. Okay, let me give you an example of one person who has done that real good. Barack and Michelle Obama. President Barack and Miss Michelle Obama. The Obamas, they build support in advance. Wherever they go in the world, it's as if the president of the universe has arrived. I'm telling you right now, whatever they do, whatever book they write, is going to blow up. Why? Because when they were presidents, first lady and president, everything they did made others so much better that when their presidency was over, they still had many arms waiting to support them, waiting to keep them relevant, waiting to keep them practical, waiting to even make them billionaires. I wish somebody had told me this. Learn to build support in advance. So if you are a supervisor, whatever position you got anywhere in the world, make what you have count. Don't create enemies because of what you have. Make friends with what you have. It's President Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest iconic presidents of the United States, who once said, I would rather turn an enemy into a friend than a friend into an enemy. I would rather turn an enemy into a friend than turn a friend into an enemy. In other words, support matters. Even the gospel of God is literally in the hands of the divine gospel supporters. You and I, as we witness of the goodness of God, we are literally, here it is, we are in support of what God did on the cross. We are in support when we are witnessing and evangelizing and bringing others into the light and inviting others, where we are believing what we believe is because we believe in God, we support God's cause, and we are in it. Nothing exists in this, everything in this world exists to the quality of the supporters who support that cause. So I want to challenge you, my friend, build support in advance. Build support in advance. Don't be so big that you make more enemies. All your friends, they feel let down. All your friends feel disappointed. All your friends feel like, man, how could you do that, betrayed because you made it? I didn't say all of them will still be your friends, but I'm saying don't turn friends into enemies just for no reason. Build support in advance. Make friends. You can make friends anywhere and everywhere. You can make friends with everybody. Has it ever dawned on you that every person you meet in your life every day is an opportunity for something that you don't have? Every person you meet in your life is something that you don't have, and something that you don't have that you could use. So build support in advance. You know, that's why I don't want to be a racist. I don't want to be a tribalist. I don't want to be a nationalist. I don't want to be in all these labels that look down on people, look down on others. I don't want that because I need everybody. I need everybody. And then the last one, then we're out of here, my friends. It matters how to make what you have count. You got to be intentional about it. You got to be intentional about it. Some people say, Pastor, I'll just pray about it. Oh, yeah. After you say amen, that's why there are so many people of faith who do not even know how to make what they have count. It's amazing how people have so much faith, and at the end of the day, they are looking for a job. And guess who's going to employ them? Somebody who doesn't even believe in God. So somebody who doesn't believe in God is the one who gets you to employ you and send your children to school, and all you say is, all I got to do is pray. No. They are principles that must be applied in your life in order for you to reap the results of those principles. And those principles don't matter whether you believe or you don't believe. You need to understand, God says, give and it shall be given unto you. It doesn't matter you are saved, you are not saved, you're an atheist, it doesn't matter. If you give, God has already said there's going to be a blessing that's going to come to you. So that's a principle of life. If you don't apply that principle, if you're a stingy believer, you'll never get the blessings of a giving non-believer. Elizabeth, God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's just what it is. I got everything they need. But man, they prayer is not an excuse to you developing what Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 says. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, whether what you did in the morning or what you did in the evening. You don't know whether in the evening, in the morning, both of them are going to prosper. In other words, you accomplish in proportion to your attempts. We accomplish little because we attempt little. If we start attempting much, we are going to accomplish much. You can make what you have count, my friend. Here is the last one that I want you to have, then I'm out of here. Learn to say no. Learn to say no. If you're going to make what you have count, learn to say no. You, my friend, you are not everlasting. What does that mean? It means only God is everlasting. Okay. You need to learn to say no if you are going to make what you have count. You see, I like it when you're going to the medical field. The medical field, you know what they do? Doctors, they have this system of referring people. If you go to one doctor and that's not his specialty, that doctor will refer you to a specialist. I love that career. I really do. I seriously do. There's no doctor who says, I'm a doctor, I'll fix everything, I'll do everything. No. If you go to a family doctor and your gum line is bleeding, the family doctor, even though he is a doctor, he is going to refer you to a dentist. And when you go to a dentist, the dentist is going to work on that thing. If you have a problem with your eyes, your family doctor is going to refer you to an eye doctor. This is extremely important. Learn to say no. You cannot do everything. And because you cannot do everything, Pastor Cambisi puts it this way, nobody has it all. And because nobody has it all, then everybody needs everybody. I need your expertise. You need mine. Listen, this world works better when all of us play our role. All we got to do is do our part and pass the ball. Pass the ball. If you're not the one who is the shooter, pass the ball to the shooter. If you're not a defender, pass the ball to the defender. This is the joy of collaboration. Life gets sweet when you collaborate with others. So my friend, you can make what you have count. You can make what you have count. In the morning, sow your seed. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, please keep on sowing, because you don't know which one is going to make it. Either this or that, or you don't even know if all of them. We need each other. You need people. Everybody's needed. And when I go to Africa, one thing I like, when I go to some African countries where they roast maize by the road, I just want to go and buy me some roasted corn, roasted maize by the road. I tell you what, one thing I like when I get there and they say, well, you know, this is how much it is, this is how much. Some people get there and try to find a discount on a guy who's standing in the rain trying to fix something for you. Listen, man, you got to appreciate everybody. Leave everybody smiling. You're just going to do it. Make what you do count. Last but not least, let me say this to you. One of the habits I've developed in the month of March that I really love. When I wake up in the morning after my prayers, after my interaction with scripture a little bit, you know what I do? I get on Facebook. And when I get on Facebook, I go to my friends' stories. And everybody who has a story who is a friend of mine, I have a lot of friends. So most of them, I just give myself 15 minutes of liking everybody's story. I just put a like, a heart, a like, and a heart, and a like, and a heart. Let me tell you something. By the time I'm done making somebody else happy, I start feeling happy on the inside myself. Because what I've discovered is that joy is contagious. Don't be the only one who receives stuff. Always follow the golden rule. Go do unto others what you want them to do unto you. If you like them to watch your video, and if you want them to like your video, you better like their video and watch their videos. Do unto others. Always follow the golden rule. I'm telling you, good always wins. So my friends, blessings on you. I'm going to have a second one in the next 5 hours or so. But for now, I just want you to know that you can make what you have count. You can make what you have count. You can make what you have count. If you cook, you can make cooking count. Yes, you can. Instead of you finding somebody who will pay you a lot of money to cook, why don't you offer a serious a meal for all the homeless people in your town? Why don't you pull it together and have a big giveaway, food giveaway? I'm talking of solid food. Once you do that, God is going to bless that local TV station, because somebody's going to hear about it. And that newspaper person, somebody's going to hear about it. Before you know it, there's collaboration of expertise and gifts. And before you know it, it's way out there. And guess what? You're going to be interviewed. Where did you get this dream to cook for the homeless people? And when you get up, you are making what you have count. Let me tell you something. Whatever God has put in you is a blessing to somebody else. If what you do doesn't bless anybody, you are not doing well what God has put in you. Because whatever God has put in you is to make you a conduit of God's goodness toward others. And the more intentional we become, the greater joy we get. Life is not about the paycheck. Life is not about the paycheck. Paycheck is good. I need it for my bills. But let me tell you something. I am so excited in my life at this point in my life like I've never been before. Because listen, I am literally doing what God wants me to do. God says, go, I go. I do. And I just want to challenge you to answer this question. Find your story, please. Find your story. What would you do if you have no worry about money? What would you do if you had no worry about money? How would you spend your time if you had no worry about money? What kind of work would you be doing if you had no worry about money? What cause would you be serving if you had no money? Worry about money. You are bigger than money. Money is very important. The Bible says, we're going to talk about it in Ecclesiastes. It says, money answers everything. That's what the Bible says. Money has its own place, but money should never define you. See, when money finds you, money always magnifies what you are. If you are bad, you're going to be better. All right? If you are good, you're going to go to better and best. Money always magnifies. So find your story, my friend, because I know you can make what you have count. And you can progress on purpose, my friend. Blessings on you as you continue to ponder anew on what God can do. When you make up your mind and you are intentional, that it's about time to make what I have count. And we are praying. Father, thank you for this moment. Please, for the application, we pray for wisdom and courage for us to address ourselves. Help us find our stories in your mega story for the redemption of man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings on you, my friends. See you soon.